Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome everybody again to Mannheim Downtown and to the Anti-Pattern Podcast. Together with me again, Christian, and I'm Michael. And today is already the 8th episode, and we wanted to focus today on partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Partnerships. In other words, how do we create and make use of our ecosystem for the company? And
whereas there are many different types of partnerships, so true. The ones that are technically about the platform itself,
right?
Others about collaboration.
Business relationships, so to say, right? So in the preparation for this episode, we basically came up with 5 types of partnerships that are important for us. There may be more, right? But these 5 are pretty important, and these were the ones that we came up with. First of all, there are research partnerships, right? Really, really important for us in the moment, because we basically just handed in an application for government grant, right, for subsidies to finance our research. We handed in a research project called Seismic, and it's an abbreviation, but I will not let you know what it stands for because that's too long, and in German, together with Fraunhofer, our friends from Fraunhofer ESE in Kaiserslautern. So this is an important partnership for us already, right? This is already ongoing. And secondly, we will also, of course, look into development partnerships, right? We don't have the, you know, huge resources that you need to build a huge platform, right? That's true. And then thirdly, consulting partnerships are important, right? How do we cooperate in the future with external partners to actually implement our solution, right? And then if you think about it a little bit further, you will say, okay, sales, of course, right? No company survives without sales, right? Sales partnerships, the channel, right, is important for us. And then support, right? Support partnerships helping us to maintain, right, and keep the system running. It's also something that we are looking into doing and handling via partnerships. Right. So these are the 5 things, basically the 5 types of partnerships we want to talk about today. And your most important part of this is development partnerships, I think, right?
Yeah, especially at the moment, or not even at the moment, also later on. Because one thought we had from the beginning on was, if we are building up a platform, a SaaS platform hosted on the internet, the next logical step is having some kind of an app shop or an app store, but I think we are not allowed to name it.
For some reason, you cannot name it that, right?
And app shop, app store means we have different packages. I think we already talked about it, that we have different layers and we can package up information from each layer, no matter if you're extending the data model or you're bringing in business logic or even your own application in a different programming language in a container, which can also be part of the package. And that means these packages can be controlled by us, can be controlled by partners who can build and run them. It could also be that our customers have a good idea and they want to just share it in the community. That should be possible. And of course, for partners, it would be much more interesting to monetize these apps.
Right. So this is one, crucial example of how you can also see the partnership in the software, right? Because we need to manage the partnership via the app shop. The app shop, right? The next example for something you see in the platform as well is basically consulting partnerships. And this is because we have this modeling engine in there, right? Which allows for no-code extensions and configuration of data model and process model, right? And this is something that actually changes to some extent the way we can collaborate with consulting companies, right? Because you don't have to be a programmer anymore to actually do something in the system and make it actually work for the customer, right? So this whole no-code, low-code thing, right, actually changes the way things are done. And if I look back in the past, right, so from my experience, usually when PLM projects are started, there is some consulting company, some management consulting company coming in, analyzing a lot, proposing something, consuming a lot of the budget, handing over some slides, right? And then some poor implementation company or the software developer themselves, right? They are then the ones to actually implement. And what you usually see is this huge gap between what was the envisioned PLM strategy, the processes that, you know, all that, and what actually ends up in the tools, right? Yeah. Because the tools are not that flexible that you actually can do everything, right? There are a lot of limitations, right? So there is one, you know, hopefully more than one, but there are poor guys that actually need to do the implementation later on when all of the ideas have been promised, right? And it turns out to be not so.
Yeah, the interesting thing would be, do consultants need a new skill set?
True.
So it's one thing to have these ideas. The other thing is to model these ideas. So what I see is that with our no-code mechanism and the ability to model your data model, which is not new, but we still see there are tools on the market which cannot do that. This modeling of the concepts and the concepts itself are pretty close to each other if you have a little bit of a technical background.
Right.
And then this gap closes by itself. So it goes more hand in hand. And I think this could be a good idea for our consulting partners that we train them how to think in models.
Right, how to think in models, how to actually do the modeling with our platform, right? And this also rings one bell, and that is I have one expectation of product managers. If we hire product managers in the future, and that is they need to be technical enough, right? I don't want to hire yet another marketing guy that creates slides but does not know anything about the platform, does not know anything about the tool itself, right?
And the or same the is process,
true, or the or process,
whatever.
Right. So this is also true for consulting companies, right? If we work together with consulting companies, my wish would be these are guys that understand the process and know how that process translates at least into data model, to some extent in the business logic, right? Maybe they don't do the implementation themselves, right? But they know how things actually would then look like in the tool, right? So my feeling is the consulting part needs to be a little bit more technical, leave the PowerPoint behind, right? And think about how could you actually implement it using a modeling engine, right? Data model and process model. This is, I guess, for us really important that you make the distinction that things are about to change. We are making things easier for consulting companies, right? And so, you know, the gap, this huge gap that we talked about, that closes. Should be closed.
Yeah, the next kind of partnerships was sales. And I guess even if the tool speaks for itself, it's still a huge decision to make to choose some of these tools or our tool, for example. And I can imagine that, especially when you're not located in Germany or in German-speaking country, and not in an English-speaking country, you would like to have some partner in your country speaking your mother language to talk to and to ask questions. This is absolutely okay, and so I hope we will find resellers in different countries later on, which also might help us with the translation.
Exactly, and this is, by the way, not an unusual pattern, if you will. Right? We see that pattern everywhere, that there are reselling companies also doing kind of the support, right? In the local language and at the localization, right?
Yeah.
And that leads to the next partnership, which is, you know, how do we want to work together, or how do we work together with partners in supporting the platform and keep it running,
right? Yeah, yeah. And therefore, yeah, we have to distinguish different support levels.
Right.
So usually you have these four support levels.
Most of the time, yeah.
But going one step back, I think we need to clarify, we are developing the software, and as a SaaS company, we will also run it, except for very special cases.
Very, very special cases, yeah.
And running the software does not mean making also the support for all levels.
Right.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. So... Right.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, one thing. Why do software development companies in a SaaS setting do the support themselves, right? Because the software that we're here developing, right, is not is nothing uncomplex, right? There's a lot of thought, you know, going into this, and the more complex the setting is, the better it is that the ones developing it is also the one supporting it, because it makes things faster. Right. Otherwise, you have that separation, you know, and that's not good. You can do that if it's really, you know, uncomplex software, right? But, you know, where is uncomplex software today? Right? There is nothing left, right? All software gets more and more complex because we add more and more functionality. So this is a natural thing in the market, that SaaS means the software developer is also supporting it, right? And you talked about the levels, right?
Yeah, depending on the level. Yeah, right. Right. So it makes it difference for us, or for me at least, as the CTO, yep. If the customer needs support because he has a bug in the platform, he found a bug in the platform, This is very far behind the scenes. This is third level or even fourth level support. This is something definitely Elevating Patterns has to cover.
Right.
But there are other things in the first and second level support, and even before that, a user has forgotten his password.
Right.
This is something the customer itself or a partner can fix.
Yeah.
Also with, let's say first level support, the customer doesn't know how to use this and that customization.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so usually you have this, I guess you can call it triage process, right? I got that name from the COVID period, right? Because there was also kind of a triage process, right? What I mean is, there is an issue coming up at, you know, an end user of the platform, and then someone needs to make sure, is it actually a support issue, or is it really a bug, right? Or is it actually just a misuse, right, of the system? And this is something that we easily can hand out to a partner, right? Because this usually, they have experience in doing this, right? Can they recreate the bug? Can they not recreate it, right? And only if it is recreated and is identified as a real bug, then it's handed over to the next level, right?
Yeah.
And that next level then potentially could be us, right? This is how we envision it, but I guess this is not an, you know, unusual thing to do anyway, right? This is pretty common in the software industry, right? And that is covered by so-called SLAs, service level agreements, right? And for all of the customers that are then hiring us to be their digital threat system in the end, right? We will have certain SLAs, and there's a lot of, you know, different ways how to handle it, also together with our partners. So with that being said, this is, you know, how we envision working together with partners. And it is an important issue for us, right, to already really early on have that conversation. And we already reached out to a couple of consulting companies out there, right? If you are a consultant out there and you are interested and want to learn more, what is it that we are working on? What is it that we envision, right? Then please don't hesitate to contact us. The good news is, Christian and myself, both of us will be at the ProStep IBIP Symposium next week in Berlin, right? Tuesday and Wednesday next week. They have this evening event on Monday evening already.
Yeah.
So we will be from Monday on in Berlin, right? Which is basically the biggest neutral PLM event, at least in Europe, I would say, right? Maybe even worldwide, not sure. We will be there. So if you see one of our two faces, just talk to us, right? And let us see what we can do in terms of collaboration.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah. Please.
What's the anti-pattern? What are we doing differently to our market competitors?
In terms of working together with the partners?
Yeah.
I guess the biggest two things are we want to work closer together in terms of development than others, right? We don't want to develop everything by our own, right? This is something that the big ones are actually doing to keep everything under control. We don't have to have that control, right? And we want to basically make use of the huge partner network that is basically out there, right? And the second thing is, because we are so flexible, as we said, right, the way consultants can work together with us is different, right? They don't need to program all of it, right? Configuration of the platform can happen to some extent without letting us know, right? Because in the end, we are just responsible to upgrade it, right, to make sure that the standard functionality is working. And the custom part of it, right, is actually something we don't need to know by, you know, in details, right? So the collaboration is, on the one end, closer in terms of developing together and, you know, monetizing over the app shop. And the other thing is a little bit more loose when it comes to actually configuring the software. Right. Yeah. So this is, I guess, what makes us different, right? And but we see that in other markets as well. Right? It's not just in PLM, we are maybe the first ones to do this kind of collaboration.
I don't know a PLM system having an app shop.
No, I don't either. I do not know either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not.
It's much more how ALM behaves nowadays.
True.
And yeah. But that might be content for another episode.
You're already spoiling a lot of content that we are working on. Good. Okay. So thank you very much again for listening in, and tune in, subscribe, like what you heard. And if you don't hear us here, maybe we see us in Berlin, right? Would be great then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.